This week, and we call the Advent, we're looking at the peace that the Master brought to us. And I've asked Pat and Betty to come down and do the reading today and light the second candle of Advent. And remember, Advent is a time of rejoicing, of the expectation of the Master coming. There's 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew, and it's 400 years of waiting, so each candle represents a year that we're waiting here from the Lord. And of course now, in the church, it's 4 weeks from we light the first one till we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And this is a way to help us remember some of the attributes that the Master brought to us that we have in our life as a born-again Christian. Pat?
Lighting of the peace candle. The second candle of the Advent is the candle of peace. It is something called the Bethlehem candle to remind us of the peace in which we preparation were made to receive, and the candle of the Christ child.
Amen.
Peace is the gift that we must be prepared for. God gives us the gift of peace when we have turned to Him in faith.
Amen.
The prophet Isaiah called Christ the Prince of Peace. So John the Baptist and all the other prophets, God asked us to prepare our hearts so that we may come in. Our hope is in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our peace is found in Him. The light is We light this candle today to remind us that He brings peace to all who has trust in Him.
Amen.
Amen. He does. Season when we gather here on Sundays, we look at the attributes of Christ, and it's to remind us of who the Lord really is, but to remind us who lives inside of us. Amen. But I want to remind you that as we gather here this morning and any time after the service, if you have a prayer need today, if you have something you want prayer for, after we're done, come to me. We want to pray. Don't ever come into the church with a burden that you have. And just because the pastor didn't say, well, if you have a prayer need, come down. It's always available. Okay? After the survey, pastor, I need to talk to you for a minute. And we'll get together when we pray, no matter what it is. Okay? So make sure you know you have that liberty of doing it. It'd be kind of like you go to the doctor's office. Okay? You go there. And we never called your name, so you get up and you go home. I'll say, hey, doc, I'm here. You know? In the same way with the Master. And we come together in prayer. That's what God wants us to do through the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. So make sure that if you have a prayer concern today before you go home, that we'll pray together and allow the Master to work through that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But this time of year, it seems like a lot of, and I know our son maybe touched on it last week, but it seems like the peace that God's given us is blown out of proportion, that we don't have it. It seems like we allow Satan to come in and take that. In John 10:10 says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll put so many expectations in your mind that you have to do to have this perfect Christmas that you'll say, oh, I'm just get rid of I can't wait till Christmas over. Did you get an amen on that? Anybody ever say that? You ever get that point? And we have to look beyond that. First of all, we got to look at the Word of God. And nowhere in the Word of God does it ever tell us to celebrate the birth of Jesus. You know that? It never, ever, no places. There's only three festivals, I want to say, or what's a better word for festivals? Feast days that he said that we'll celebrate now and forever. And one is Passover, which you do that right before Resurrection Sunday. The second one is the Feast of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And the third is the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates where the Master really is where Moses led the people out of Egypt, and they tabernacled with the Lord. But also it represents when Christ came to the church. Not to the church, created the church. He's already in church, right? Okay. The second thing that we get involved with a lot in the church is that, Steve, it's Merry Christmas, and it ain't Happy Holiday, and it's Christ's birthday, and if you can't say Merry Christmas, don't even talk to me. You can turn the light on now, Aaron, if you want to. We hear that a lot, I do. You know, and again, some of you know this, some of you don't. December the 25th is not Jesus' birthday. Okay? It's a day he set aside to remember his birth. It came about because of Constantine the Emperor. He wanted to find peace in his kingdom. And the pagans were celebrating December 21st as a winter solstice. You know, celebrate winter. So he picked December the 25th to please the Christians to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Okay, he's trying to find peace. In reality, Jesus was born at the Feast of Tabernacle. The Master was born, and it fluctuates depending on how the moon lines up, anywhere from the middle part of September to the first part of October is when he was born. You hear me, church? He wasn't born December the 25th. Nothing wrong in celebrating the greatest gift that ever came to mankind. Amen? In fact, it's good to remember it. Okay? But the most important part to remember is his death and resurrection. Amen?
Amen?
But here's something about how God works in things. For some reason, Constantine picks out, and this is like 320 AD, I think it is, roughly. Some reason, and he picked out December the 25th. Well, December 25th in Israel is the same as America. There's snow, there's blizzards, there's ice going on. Well, if you read the scriptures, especially in Matthew and Luke, he talks about the shepherds are out in the field tending flock. They've already brought the sheep in by December. They're not out there anymore. They're in the barn. Okay, so we know right away, We know that Jesus is 33 and a half years old when he was crucified, right? We know that by Scripture. So, again, depending on how it lines up with if the moon, we got with the calendar, we're that's lunar, we are sunnier. What's the sun year?
Solar.
Thank you. Okay. My brain back here. So, if you take March, the middle of March is sometimes the earliest part of for Easter week is known, but really it's Resurrection Sunday. You go back 6 months. 6.5 months, go back to where. So if he's 33 and a half years old in March, that means you're back 6 months, that's his birthday. So you go March, you go February, you go January, you go December, November, October, September. Oh, wow. Okay. So, to the pagans, it might be Happy Holiday. To the Christians, it might be Merry Christmas. But I believe either you can celebrate both. You can celebrate the holiday, and you can celebrate Christmas. But I'll tell you an awesome thing on December 25th. You know, if you go back to the Feast of Tabernacle, and you go backwards, Kathy, 9 months, and you find it to be December the 25th. December 25th, when the angel came to Mary and says, "You'll be overshadowed, you receive the child." And one more piece of thing for you. In the Jewish culture, when you're born, you're already 9 months old. They count the day that you're conceived forward. So in their eyes, December 25th was the day that the Master came to live on earth. So even though it was picked out of the blue to bring people together, look how awesome God is. So you can celebrate by saying, "Hey, Merry Christmas." And you say, "Hey, Happy Holiday." You can say, okay. It's that we choose to recognize the day the greatest gift ever come to the world. You know? It'd be sad, though, to recognize the greatest gift that ever came and never open it up and put it on. You know? You know, there's a few gifts my wife gave me. I don't mind doing that. "Yeah, honey. Thank you for the gift. I really put it over here for the time being." But that's where we're at. And what happens is that we get so wrapped up in this Christmas giving that we lose all the peace that God wants to give us and all the joy. You know, we've all been down that road before we got saved. I believe most of us have. I pray we're not there anymore. Okay? Some of us stress out so much during Christmas because we got to have that turkey. That'd be perfect, Steve, when I cook it. My whole family's coming. Oh, the presents have to be wrapped a certain way. Okay. You know, we give gifts just to remind ourselves of the great gift that God gave us. Okay? He gave it out of love. He gave it out of joy. Amen? Out of peace. He gave us his son. Because
yep.
He wanted to. Folks, if your gift giving causes you to stay up at night and you pull your hair out, and y'all, "I don't know how I'm going to do this," quit doing it. If your gift giving causes you to not pay your rent this month, you're wrong. If your gift giving causes you not to pay your electric bill this month, you're wrong. Listen to me, church. The Master said, "I'll supply all your needs to the rich in glory in Christ Jesus." Your needs. Then in a surplus, we have a little bit of liberty what we do with it. The last thing that God wants to do is supply your needs. They have you take that need and be influenced by the things of this world and blow it on stuff. Then 2 days after Christmas means nothing. Somehow, church, we got sucked into this thing that the more gifts you give, the more you love someone. You know, we've been there. You know what I'm saying? That everything's there. Stop it. Don't let this time of year steal your joy. The greatest gift you can ever receive is Jesus Christ. Is that right? So I ask you a question. If that is the greatest gift you can ever receive, Daryl, what's the greatest gift you can ever give? Jesus. You were thinking something about Cleveland Browns. I seen your head thinking, okay? But the greatest thing you can give is Jesus. You know, we have to allow this time of year to be the time that we really truly reflect on that perfect gift, which is Jesus Christ. And quit allowing our peace to be taken from us or for us giving our peace away. Church, you know, it breaks my heart when I hear, you know, people say, "Oh, I just can't wait to just get through the darn thing, get it over with, get a new year started." Because I know the joy of the Lord's not there and the peace, and somehow we've been overwhelmed. And I know we can be influenced a lot of times. I want to give that perfect gift. I want to buy this for this person and this person and this person. Who can tell me right now what you got last year for Christmas? Maybe somebody can. Pat?
Nothing.
Okay. Amen. I can't remember. You know, maybe you didn't give me nothing either. Come think of it. By gosh, I'm telling you what. But I can't. But you know what I can remember? I can remember Christmas Eve candlelight service.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember the beauty of just being here with you guys and the peace of God here. Woo. I can remember sitting at home looking at my Christmas tree. You know, to me, the tree represents so many things to me, you know. Remind me of God of eternal life, and I know Ryan went through it yesterday, but when we hang the ornaments last week, thank you. But you know, and I forgot to tell you if you want to bring an ornament in today, you could. But you know, we have one here that says reminds us of Dad Griffin and Carol's dad, or be Ryan's grandpa. But we can look at our tree and we reflect over the years everything we've done with the kids and the blessing we received. Some of the stuff was made in Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, first grade, and we just can give God thank you for our children. You know, thank you for the blessings you've given us. And so just, you know, that's the thing that's important. So we just, God doesn't want us to get wrapped up in the things of this world and allow it to come into our life and take away the peace that He offers us through Jesus Christ. And I know that it might not be very popular. I know you have a lot of pressure on yourself to outdo last year. Ever been there? You know? But don't. Don't allow that, you know. There's nothing wrong if you want to give a gift, but let it be a gift that you can afford to give. Amen? Let it be something that you can afford to give. And if a person down the street can give a $100 gift and your gift is $10, so be the $100 gift if they can afford it. But God wants to live within our means. I'd rather receive a gift from someone that can, something that you had to give, not something you had to borrow to give. You know what I'm saying? And the Master's the same way. And if we're going to celebrate His birthday, let's celebrate what He came for and not be wrapped up in all this other stuff. But again, I just caution you, you're checking out tomorrow at the store and someone says, Happy Holiday, don't thump him in the face. Say, no, it's Merry Christmas. They say, oh, well, thank you. Well, Merry Christmas to you. And be on your way. You know, and Philippians 4:6, if you want to turn there for a second, I want to share a scripture with you. And Paul is encouraging us through the Holy Spirit. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts in your mind in Christ Jesus. Mm. You know, as you have anxiety that builds up in you, you go to God and say, Lord, you know how I'm feeling today. I don't like this feeling. And as you speak to the Lord and His word comes back to you, He'll bring a peace to you. I actually, you know, for a moment, think about what took place in California this week. It doesn't matter what kind of gifts are under the tree now. You hear me, church?
Yeah.
And that was an attack against Christianity. They came against us because of celebrating the birth of Christ. You know, that is here in America. And from what we read last night, you know, it's already prepared in all 50 states. Just a matter of when they blow the whistle that the attacks will take place. Okay, church? We have to stay grounded in His Word.
Right.
Not to fear. Don't let anxiety shut us down from not going anywhere or doing anything. Continue to love the Lord. Serve Him. Share the gospel. But daily be prepared. Be prepared wherever comes our way. We can watch the television sets anymore, and if we don't remind ourselves that God is the creator of all things, we can get to the point where we're very fearful that we never want to go back outside again. But God did not give us a spirit of fear. We can't allow it to take away what He's given us. We are God's children. We are born again. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are heirs to the throne. We are co-heirs of Jesus Christ. Greater is He that lives in you as a born-again Christian than he that's doing all this torment in this world. We have to remember that. And that your prayers are very powerful. As we pray through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, there's no weapon that formed upon this earth can stop those prayers. You know? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Verse 1 to 4, I'll read to you in 1 Thessalonians. There's a couple books to the right. Unless you're in the wrong book to start with, then I don't know where you're going to go. But Paul shared with us, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippia, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts." Pleasing God and not men. And I know, again, we go back to this time of year that we want to please everybody. You ever been there? You want to please everybody? You ever have a guest list and you go through it, people might be coming, and you, oh man. Let's see. I can't have Paul beside Fred. They won't talk to one another. Or Fred's not coming if Steve's coming. Okay, what can I do there? Okay, now, I have Christmas in the morning for that side of the family. I have Christmas in the evening for the other side of the family. And for the family I'm not really sure about, I'll have them come Tuesday after Thanksgiving or something. You know that? And you get so frustrated because you're trying to please everybody. Listen to what God says. Please me. I'll leave the rest alone. Please God. How do we please God? By allowing His Son total access to our life. And that peace that transcends our understanding to rest upon us. I worship my God. I honor Him in my house. Wherever I go, I recognize Him. I allow His Word to be that light upon my path. And if I invite you, Cindy, and I invite you, Brenda, and you say, "Well, I ain't coming if Cindy ain't coming." Fine, don't come. You know, fine. You know, I'm still having a get-together. But when Cindy comes, we're going to pray. Let's pray for Brenda today. Okay? Or Brenda comes and Cindy, "I ain't coming." Okay, listen, guys, this is Christmas. We're celebrating the greatest gift ever given to mankind, Jesus Christ, to be reconciled with the Father in heaven. And He'll bring us reconciliation to one another if we allow Him in the situation. So, Brenda, just pray with me right now. Let's just pray for Cynthia. I'm not sure what the separation is. Let's just pray for her. And we lift her up in the name of Jesus. God, to touch her and her family and whatever has come between us, God, it be resolved. God, that Your peace would rest in her life and reconciliation would take place. Now, I know as I pray, God is going to come upon Cynthia. And she's going to think, "Oh man, I ought to come. I should." Now she may or may not come, or might not even call, but she's going to feel the Holy Spirit convict her, saying, "Okay, this is kind of stupid, isn't it? Just because Brenda brought the same casserole you did July the 4th, and people liked hers better, you know." But church, doesn't that happen? Don't we get that offended at times like that? So as we please the Lord and we get in those situations, this is the day we're coming together. You're welcome to come. If someone that doesn't show up, it isn't time to talk against them or about them. But you're a Christian. It's your house. Hey, let's pray. And that's how you bring the Lord, that peace, into your situation, into your family life. We got to quit trying to please everybody and please the Lord and allow Him to fight our battles for us. Let Him to intercede on our behalf. Man, sometimes we allow so many things in our life to distract us from the love that Jesus has for us. And God doesn't. He doesn't want you to get that frustration. We have enough trials and tribulations just being a Christian. We don't need a lot of the things of the Eve-Stacy family to come in and try to make it worse. It's like every family has some type of dispute somewhere. Or there's someone that won't come because this person or that person. And you spend the whole time. Folks, two things. Number one is, again, follow the Lord. Allow Him to be the center of your life. Let your house operate around Jesus. Don't compromise it. Invite, however you would do it. And the second thing, allow the Lord to intervene in your church, in your houses for loved ones as you lift them up in prayer. And He will. Some of you might have some hurt feelings, but don't let it ruin what God wants to do for you and through you. The greatest gift you have is Jesus Christ, and as you allow Him to be the center of your life, you allow Him to love that person through you. You'd be surprised what God can do when He's given the opportunity to it. We just need to keep our eyes on Him and allow Him to be the focus, not just on Christmas, on every day of our life. Every day allow Him to be in the center of our life. And to please Him and not man, to be the number one focus. And sometimes we hear this thing, well, Steve, if you really loved me, you would have bought me this. Or you would have took me here. You know, I mean, you know, there's all kind of guilt trains that people can jump on. And, amen? Hey, come on. Oh, okay. I didn't ask for confessions right now, you know, but you did burn supper last night, you know. Folks, sometimes it's things in the past. People come back to you. It could be a child come back to you and say, you owe me. My life growing up, it was like walking through hell. You owe me everything. You owe me big time. No, I don't. I repented of my life in the past. I've asked you to forgive me. If you can't forgive me, I can't change that. But I owe everything I have now to Jesus Christ. And so I'll gladly give you the Lord if that's what you're looking for. But don't let Him put you on that guilt train, folks. Whether it be a spouse's or whatever it might be, don't allow them to put you on the guilt train as you repented and went forward on that. Don't let it operate in your life like that. Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I was still trying to please men," Paul said, "I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Again, that can be applied in our life many different ways. But again, are we seeking to find favor with our friends and family members? Or are we trying to find favor with God? And again, I'm not telling you don't love your family. I'm not saying that. I'm saying put God, He's saying put Him first. Allow Him to be the center and allow your life to be built around Him, not away from Him. You know, my heart breaks for him also that he sees so much frustration and strife going on in people's lives. And we have these expectations time and time again, outdo last year or 10 years ago. Or you sit here and you remember your own childhood as Christmas come around. And you see the presents under the tree. And, you know, it's just like 30 years ago, 50 years ago, well, we had perfect Christmases, but now we don't. Folks, it was the same 50 years ago it is today. We're just looking through different eyes. You know? Just looking through different eyes. And He wants us to look through His eyes. And He doesn't want us to get burned out this season trying to please everyone. He doesn't want us to. He wants us to stop doing that. And allow that peace that you have with God through the reconciliation through His Son, Jesus Christ, to reign in your hearts. Romans 5:1, he shares with us, and we spoke about it during lighting our candle. So being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you can write these down if you want to. John 10:10, that Satan comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Master said He came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. That's what He came for. He came for that. reminded me back when I was on the force and we'd have a domestic situation. Husband and wife would be getting into it. And so I would come to bring peace. Come to bring peace. And the door opened up, they allowed me to come in. But then very shortly afterwards, here's come 15 more relatives coming in behind me, okay? And people end up listening more to their relatives. Throw the bum out, you know, I divorced you. But they forgot the one who was there, was truly there to bring peace, got shoved off to the side. And normally by the time they got done, everyone hated me and they threw me out anyway, you know? But Jesus comes into our situations for one reason, to bring a peace. As we listen to what he says, that peace will take place in our life. It's kind of hard when I was in there saying, "Hey, can you settle down, please? Hey, miss, sir. And everyone else is talking. I cannot get across to them how to settle this dispute. And it could be something very simple. A lot of times they were. Just the frustrations and tempers would fly in the eye. If they just listened to me for a moment, that peace could have came into their life and been a lot better. Same way now in this Christmas time. Allow that Word of God into your life. Allow Him to be your peace. Don't get wrapped up in the things of this world. Don't allow Satan. I won't say, don't allow him to tempt you. To doing things you know wouldn't be pleasing to God. And I'm not saying it's sinful things. But God doesn't, again, want you reaching your purse and spend every dime you got on stuff that next month from now you won't be able to find it. And you're sitting out in the street because you didn't pay your rent, your electric bill. That happens too many times. You know, in January, normally a lot of churches, probably of all the things throughout the year, January and February is when the churches are called upon more and more by the world for money because they spend it all at Christmas time.
And they take in less.
Do what?
And they take in less.
Well, who's that?
The tithes, the church.
Oh.
They take in less than
yeah, just that you feel a lot better in January if you allow the Lord just in every situation you do and live according to what your budget is. Amen?
Amen.
John 16:33. I get two more scriptures for the day. I have two more scriptures for the day. He said it's slower. John chapter 16, verse 33. I love it. John 16:33. And it's a peace. I mean, as you're turning there, it's a peace. Oh, I said it. Okay, John 16, verse 33. I need to get it up here like some of the church and have it right up there. And boop, boop, boop. Okay. But I said, as you were turning to there, it reminds me of my wife and I when we were on vacation going down to Virginia two weeks ago. And when we're 300 miles from home and our truck breaks down, you know, I mean, it's an awesome thing. I mean, I'll share this before you turn to this is God's peace. We're going down there, Steve, and right away, I make a wrong turn. I get on this toll road. I've been there before. I turn to go to California, somewhere where that is. And the last time I didn't turn around, Kathy, I ended up at 3 o'clock in the morning inside of a mountain going down to Virginia. I mean, it's like, oh my. Even down there on the side of the mountain, they have 7-Elevens on the mountainside, you know. Well, I knew I didn't want to go back that way again. Well, we turn, as usual, hit the toll road. I paid the toll. I go about 5 or 6 miles in a moment. And I thought, this is the wrong way again. This way, Paul, there's nothing. There's no gas stations. There's no Starbucks. There's no nothing. And something said, you need to turn around. Well, as Kenny will tell you, I'm a tightwad. But I turned around and I paid that toll again to get off the internet, or get off the interstate. Went back to the original toll road, paid another toll, and went down the road. And about a half hour, I thought, you know, time for Starbucks. There's always a Starbucks. We pull in there. I get out, and the wife looks at me and says, "That's supposed to do that?" Great mechanic she is. I said, "What?" Steam under the hood.
Oh, no.
Popped the hood. My radiator was drained. You know what? Didn't get excited. Picked up the phone. Called AAA. Sent Caroline to get me a Starbucks. And when you sit there and drink Starbucks and waiting for a trip away, that's awesome. Yeah. Trip away guy came and said, you know, I can't fix this. I can tell you somewhere. I said, well, I've got Prime or whatever it is. They can tell me clear back home, you know, 200 some miles. But I decided to take it to the Ford garage. This is Somerset, PA, where we're at. Somerset, PA. He takes it to the Ford garage. Then he takes it to this hotel. We'll spend the night there. Walk in to get a room, and the lady said, well, we give discounts when that wrecker brings people in. Well, must be pretty popular. So right away, we save $40 on a room. Next morning, get up. I call the Ford garage. This lady gets on the answer the phone. I'm expecting to hear someone say, garage, Ralph speaking. This lady named Karen gets on the phone. She goes, after about 10 rings, says, good morning, TriStar Ford Garage. I said, hey, how you doing? I said, my truck came in. She knew my truck. She knew my name, knew everything. She'd already been on top of things. She said, well, it'll be this afternoon before we'll find out whether or not we can fix it. It's okay. So not knowing whether you fix it or not, we get on the internet. We find Enterprise Car Rental 2 miles down the road. Call them. Yes, they can help us out if we need it. Ford Garage calls back. Say, listen, we can't get the part till Monday. Wow. Okay. Okay.
This is on Tuesday.
I'm sorry. This is Tuesday. Yeah. We have it on Monday because we've got Thanksgiving coming up and stuff. Okay. No problem. Call Enterprise. They come, pick us up like they advertise, you know, put us in a 2016 Jetta. We travel down and we get 49.7 miles to the gallon going down in Virginia. We get down there. We have a great time with our son. They called me on Friday. Hey, we got it fixed early. I said, that's fine, but I'm not coming back through till Monday. And so we take off Sunday. Spend the night in the hotel again, go to Enterprise, turn stuff in, pick up the truck, I mean, everything. And, you know, and there's a piece. We never got upset, never got frustrated. And every place we go, we found favor with the people. And that's just a piece in our life. I mean, years ago, I've been, you don't want to see me a year ago. I mean, not a year ago, years ago. But there's a piece inside of us. Well, hon, we can't change this, enjoy it. And that's, you know, that's just that peace that comes over you as a Christian. Huh?
And we did.
We enjoyed it. We had a great time. And we had each other. And just, yeah, just a simple time. Yep.
And our grandbaby's still gorgeous.
Yes, yes. Looks more and more like Grandpa. But he says, these things I have spoken to you, Jesus said in John 16:33.
Thank you.
You're welcome. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what?
Tribulation.
But take courage. I have overcome the world. Mm. Mm. He's overcome the world. And through him we have overcome the world also. You know. He gives us a peace beyond our understanding. I mean, can you imagine that, Steve? You got to pay the Enterprise. You pay the hotel room. You pay the garage. But look at it. We found favor. We only took 9 gallons of gas down and back. That worked out pretty good. But a piece. I mean, again, it wasn't just that. It was just that it didn't make a difference. I mean, how did that change our life? And it didn't. We still have the same blessings from the Lord. He's still watching over us. You know, I just thank God that He laid upon me to turn around. No, I could have said, oh, I don't care. I'm not paying that. It's only $1.90 for that one fool. I'm not paying that. You know how much pride it was for a man to say, okay, honey. She mentioned, well, we ought to just turn around. No, I ain't turn around. About a mile down the road, the old Holy Spirit. All right, you're probably right. If I would have been pig-headed, said, no, I'm not.
We'd have broke down.
Oh, we could have been out there.
Nowhere in the mountains.
I mean, poor Carol might be walking through bear country to get the phone, you know. Somebody got to stay at the truck, you know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
But he does.
God is good to me.
Yes, he is. But God is good. He does bring that peace in our situations. And I just pray that not just this week, but in this season and all year long, you allow that peace just to rise up in you. And sometimes we have to stop and remember that peace. You know, sometimes you say, oh, okay, you're right, God. What does this have to do with the love you have for me? Am I going to let this thing here steal my joy that you've given me? No. I mean, we've said it before. Thank God I had a truck to break down. Mm-hmm. Amen, brother. It's a blessing. And I always believe too that what else was might have happened? What was the master trying to stop me from? What was coming down the road? You know, coming home, we had 3 and 4 lanes of traffic, Kathy, coming up from Fredericksburg, Virginia, going through Steeler country when the ball game's released.
Yeah.
It took us 5.5 hours to travel 197 miles to our hotel room. But that peace was still there. I mean, it's amazing when you just focus on Him. What's the matter?
I said that one would be hard.
You've been passing on the side, but you know, yeah. I mean, we play the Christmas music and we just you know, allow Him. And again, people say, well, how do you know God's real? I can tell you right there, He's real. Because the old Starkey would not have been that way. You know what I'm saying? So I know He's alive and He lives in me. I give Him the credit for it and the glory for it. He wants to do the same in our lives every day. And just focus on His peace and His love that He has for you. And through Him, we can find peace in any situation we have, comfort in any situation we have, hope in any situation we have. We can find joy in any situation we come across. We allow Him, just lean on Him. Sometimes He's got to carry us even. But He'll be with us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your peace. And that peace at times that we don't understand, that we don't see how it can be here. Our body is saying, you can't be peaceful. But our spirit is saying, yes, you can. Shut up, body. And we thank You so much, Father, as we just listen to that small, still voice. And we allow Your joy and Your peace. And I hope that You have for us and that love just to overwhelm us. And Lord, may this message stay with us in this coming weeks, months, and years. May we walk in the victory You've given to us that started at the cradle, that came to a halt at the cross, but then it rose up again from the grave. And Father, You be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.